Paul was writing to one of the churches that he invested his life in, and we find those words in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in the first 12 verses. Now, it's not necessary for me to write you about the ministry to the saints, for I know your eagerness, which is the subject of my boasting about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Acadia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you may not prove to have been empty in this case, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. As I would said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians came with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you in this undertaking. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you and arrange in advance for this bountiful gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a voluntary gift, not as an extortion. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. May the Lord add richly to the reading of His Word. It is a great opportunity for us this morning, as we continue in our 40 days of community, to spend some time this morning on this idea of generosity. How is it that we, in fact, can be generous together? And what does that look like? What does it look like to be generous together? Our scriptures give us many examples in that regard. And certainly by no means is it the final word, but it is a great starting point. It tells us that generosity creates community. Out of 2 Corinthians 9, 11 through 12, it says, your generosity not only provides for the needs of God's people, but also produces prayers of thanksgiving to God. Or out of Matthew 6, 21, your heart will be wherever your treasure is. Or Acts 4, 32, the community of believers shared everything in common. In the very DNA of who we are, generosity lends itself to this idea of community. Diana could not have said it any better, even as I called her in a panic on Thursday before Saturday and said, we have 75 mouths to feed on Saturday morning. What are we going to do? And what a great opportunity to see not only the response, but to see how appreciative it was that a hot meal was ready and waiting for those that, I guess it was a little windy and a little cold as they went down the parade route on Saturday. And so for them to gather in our fellowship hall and to have something waiting for them, it certainly created this thing called community. But there is one thing that is prevalent in our world today. It is the God that is above all gods, and I'm talking about with a little g. It's this thing called materialism. And generosity defeats materialism. If you take a poll on the greatest issue going on in the United States today, it's this idea that I want it, and I want it now. Or, well, somebody else has got it, so therefore I've got to have it too. And everything that we do, if you look on the TV or you look in ads in the paper, They look so perfect if they just have the latest computer device, or they look so perfect if they just have the latest car. And materialism is ruling high. And Matthew 6:24 reminds us that we cannot serve both God and money. To be generous defeats this ugly God. It is hard to keep things fisted in our hands if we then realize none of it is really ours and we have the privilege of sharing. Generosity creates community, it defeats materialism, and it certainly strengthens our faith. Out of 2 Corinthians 9:13, it says, "Your giving proves the reality of your faith." Or, "Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously." And then God is able to make it up to you by giving everything you need and plenty left over to give joyfully to others. Now, I saw a lesson of faith yesterday that in the grand scheme of things probably did not cost as much as you would think, but certainly it was a step of faith. As our girls were announced as the winners, and they did all the ceremony in the gym at Cabell Midland High School, which is always quite a show, we came out for the pictures that our girls have done every year in the last 3 years. And out from a box comes these pink t-shirts that says, "Philip Barber Colts, 4-time state champions." Now, I know they didn't have a printing press waiting in the last 30 minutes to crank these things out. And I said, somebody had an element of faith involved to print 25 pink t-shirts already. They said, well, that's a sign of arrogance. Well, I would say it's a sign of great faith. Even as we tied and just about didn't get to use the shirts, it was still a sign of great faith. There is something that happens when we allow generosity to set the mark, to set the standard. And it solidifies our faith that we truly can never outgive the Lord. So generosity creates community, it defeats materialism, it strengthens faith, but it's also an investment for eternity. Out of Luke 16, it says, "Use your worldly resources to benefit others. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven." Or, "Tell the rich to use their money to do good, giving happily to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, we'll be storing up real treasures for themselves in heaven, the only safe investment for eternity. And they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well." What a great reminder for us that the investments we make are not just what have their returns here, but ultimately give us returns beyond our wildest imagination. Generosity also blesses us in return. It's not just about the investment we get one day, but it also has benefit for us here and now. Deuteronomy 15:10 reminds us, "Give generously and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to." Great opportunities for us to realize who we are connected to, the giver of life, the creator of all things. And he certainly wants to pour his life into yours. There is a return on our investment. There is a return on our generosity. And it even has benefits now. It creates community, defeats materialism, strengthens faith, is an investment in the future, and a return now. And Scripture also reminds us that generosity produces happiness. Acts 20, 35 says, there is more happiness in giving than in receiving. The joy that we see in someone else's life when we actually give of ourselves is an amazing benefit. Diane mentioned that even as they were serving. She even said it was threefold that it came back. And it is. There is something that happens. It's contagious, this thing we call generosity. And then out of the Gospel of John and 1 Chronicles and 2 Corinthians, it reminds us that generosity makes us more like God. We all live off God's generous bounty, gift after gift after gift, as John 1:16 is paraphrased in the Message. Or 1 Chronicles 29:14, everything we have comes from you, Lord, and we can only give you what is yours already. Our example of generosity comes from the one who is the great giver in all circumstances. Or 2 Corinthians 9, you will be glorifying God through your generous gift. Because really, it's not about us. It's about representing the one that we serve. We give Him glory when in fact generosity is seen and experienced. So just 7 of the many benefits that come. I really appreciated that American Express commercial many years ago where it said, membership has its privileges. I often think about that in terms of generosity as well. Generosity has its privileges to be done in community, to combat this thing of materialism that is around us everywhere, to strengthen our faith for its return both in eternity and now, the happiness, and then this reflection of God that is prevalent as we think in terms of generosity. So how do we practice it? How do we practice this thing called generosity that not only just happens on a first Sunday in November as we gather on Stewardship Sunday, but how is it that we can practice it in our lives together? 2 Corinthians 8:12 reminds us, if you're really eager to give, it isn't important how much you're able to give. It's not the amount that I'm speaking of today. The widow's mite tells us over and over again that it's not the amount that was the most significant. It was her willingness, that she went through a process to get where she was. And maybe it's that same process we need to have today. So, give thoughtfully. Think about what you do. Take opportunity to plan out times of generosity. Am I giving this for the right reason? Is there a need that is available that I can, in fact, see the kingdom of God increased because of this? Give thoughtfully. Give enthusiastically. God loves a cheerful heart. It's that privilege of thinking in terms of how will this benefit someone else? I can't wait to see the return on this investment for eternity as someone else's life is in fact enriched. Give thoughtfully, give enthusiastically, give voluntarily. Boy, and that's easier said than done. Sometimes we just say, well, I'm going to do my duty. And we make it a chore. But to know it is our privilege to give in that way which has been given to us. And certainly right along with enthusiastically, give cheerfully. You must make up your mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response of pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. Out of 2 Corinthians 9:17. Celebrate the harvest festival to honor the Lord by bringing Him a freewill offering in proportion to the blessing He has given you. Even a reminder from the original covenant out of Deuteronomy 16:10 that we are to give that in which has graciously been given to us. Remember the generosity of Jesus Christ, the Lord of us all. He was rich beyond our telling, yet He became poor for your sake, so that His poverty might make you rich. And then the message gives us another opportunity to hear out of Acts 15:11. We are saved because of Jesus. Out of sheer generosity, moved to save us. Jesus did it thoughtfully. He gave His life enthusiastically. He voluntarily laid down His life. He cheerfully said, Father, You need to be in charge here and not me. I'd rather this cup pass from me. It's not like I want to sign up exactly for the cross. But I understand that Your plan is much better than my plan. And so in our practice today, we have that opportunity to also see where we live that out in our community together. We live it out at Marshall University, which is well represented here on our front row this morning, and up at West Liberty University. Even one is certainly a good representation. South Harrison High School, now Alderson Broaddus University, is well represented today. Another orange and black school, by the way. I saw that connection as well. And then Alderson Broaddus University is certainly represented here. And then our communities of Tacy and Bealington and Philippi and Mansfield. And let's see, Marge, you're next to the high school. What would you call your community? Outside Philippi. Even outside Philippi is represented here this morning. Barber County. Yeah, amen. Baughman Towers is represented here this morning. Anita, do you say Volga? What do you say? Century. Oops, sorry. Got the wrong community there. Century is represented here this morning. We are called to be generous together in community, wherever those communities are connected together, and to go forward in His name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. What a privilege, Lord, to see the model that You have in store for all of us, that You have modeled generosity in such an incredible way, and that You want it to be in the very DNA of what we do in a community of faith together. And Lord, may in fact we do it thoughtfully and enthusiastically and voluntarily and cheerfully. And may we understand that as we give generously, we model who You are, the very character and nature of God, who has given us all good things that we can then share together in this life and beyond. We love You, Lord. In Your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.